now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Jim Mellett, number 61.
I guess.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor!
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Welcome back in. Cube Show, Sports Radio 730. And 103.9 The Ump. Good morning on a Monday. I'm not even sure what day it feels like today after being off a couple of days last week. A lot has happened since then. We'll try to cover all, if not most, today. Glad you're with us as we near the holidays. Bowl season right around the corner. Our bowl pick'em is up. We need you entered. We'll post the link on Cube Show's Twitter account. Also, Arky's got it up on his account right now. We'll get it on the Facebook pages as well. But join in and be a part of that today. Arky Shea, Program Director of The Ump, producer of this show. How are you doing this morning?
I'm feeling pretty good. Cowboys pull it out at the end against a two-win team. That's pretty exciting. And for some reason, your Pittsburgh Steelers were in a not a dogfight, but in like a scoring free-for-all last night with Baltimore.
They are...
What's with Baltimore scoring a bunch of points? Were you guys looking ahead to
Pittsburgh,
New England?
Pittsburgh couldn't tackle anybody, for number one.
Okay, is that a big deal in the NFL anymore? Do you still have to tackle people?
Well, they didn't do much of it yesterday in Los Angeles. They didn't do much of it yesterday in Pittsburgh. I mean,
Sean Davis had a bad day yesterday.
It seems to be a bit of a reoccurring theme, but...
Were you looking ahead to New England? Is that what was happening?
Pittsburgh-Baltimore?
I don't know. How do you give up 38 points to Baltimore?
Bit of a rivalry game.
Baltimore can't score points.
I don't know.
Joe Flacco was averaging 5.5 yards per throw coming into it. Worst in the league.
Maybe... maybe Shazier being out. I don't really know how to explain it because it's not good. But hey, this team gets a win, and I tell you, they are one of the, if not the most
great teams of all time.
Unimpressive 11-2 win team I've ever seen. I mean, it's just. But here's the question that I had. I thought about this on the way in. Is it to your benefit, or does it scare you more? Does it give you more hope, or does it scare you more if this is how your team lives? And I think about 2016 Clemson, 2013 Auburn, 1992 Alabama. You know, teams who just never blew anybody out, kind of always found a way to win. When you go back to that 2013 Auburn team, people talk about, obviously, kick six and Ricardo Lewis against Georgia. But, I mean, I think about that Nick Marshall rollout against Mississippi State at the end of the game to find C.J. Uzomah in the back of the end zone. You think about Clemson last year and how many times they were living on the edge. I mean, NC State, Notre Dame, Louisville, all games that came down to the wire that they easily could have dropped. 92 Alabama, I remember a lot of different... I mean, Louisiana Tech was a game they had a chance to lose that year. A lot of different games coming down to the wire. Does it give you more confidence, or does it scare you if you have a good team, a team that's on pace to compete for a championship, and that's sort of how they live? That's who they are.
I don't have a good answer for you, because those are teams that we know, with the benefit of hindsight, have gone on to win championships. But this same Pittsburgh team is the one that plays down to Indianapolis, that has lost to the Bears, which I think was their last loss. I think, I'm not sure.
No, Indianapolis a couple weeks ago. I'm sorry. Yeah, lost to the Jags and the Bears. Yeah. Jaguars was week five, I think.
I don't know what to do with Pittsburgh, because they're winning in every way possible. They're winning with hard-fought, gritty games. that sometimes shouldn't be that way, sometimes are. They're coming back to win like they did last week against Cincinnati. They came back to win this game, too. And in this game, they happened to use three straight touchdown drives at the end of the game, besides the field goal to win it, three straight touchdown drives in the fourth quarter to come back and win that game. I don't know what to do with Pittsburgh. I can't tell if they're really great or if they're just really good and they're happy to get those breaks. But I happen to think that if you got a quarterback that throws for 500 for his third time in his career and no other quarterback's done that ever, I mean, I happen to think that if you can win like that with Antonio Brown making another silly catch last night and Le'Veon Bell going for three touchdowns, I happen to think that Pittsburgh may be borderline great.
Well, and also,
I just don't know how this New England's game is going to be.
It's going to be fun either way.
It's probably going to be really competitive because if anything I would see about Pittsburgh is they play up to or down to their opponent level this year.
You think too, and then you got Chris Boswell on your side as well. He's 4-for-4 on potential go-ahead field goals in the last minute of the fourth quarter of this season. Now, number one, why have you been in that position four times this year?
Fair.
But number two, at least you got a guy that you got confidence that you can send out there that will make those kicks. It's just Steelers-Ravens, 39-38 is not what we've become accustomed to.
No.
I mean, that's a 13-10, you know, 14-7, 7-3 type game with a lot of defense, very physical, and a lot of big hits. And now it's become a track meet. And
I was fully prepared at about 9:30 to come back to the game after Walking Dead and it to be 16-9. I was fully prepared going into half to be like, yeah, this we probably get a touchdown in this game in the first quarter of first two and a half quarters, and then I'm gonna come back and watch the stretch run, and it's gonna be just a lot of punching in the mouth. Nope, it was straight up points, homie.
Yep, a lot of missed tackles. Not quite the marathon game that Eagles Rams was yesterday, which felt like it took 7 hours.
Was because it did.
That was a long football game. Now the game in Buffalo, which I watched. Unfortunately, every play of was also a long game, but that at least went to overtime and had its reasons for being long. We're not shortening the game at all.
No, this is one of the points that needs to be hit a lot about the NFL. The NFL has made a very concerted effort this year, and I know based on doing logs, which is what you hear on the station, what's playing, I program into the station, that they have changed commercial breaks, especially in radio, to try to shorten the amount of time that they were in commercial. And that doesn't feel like it. Because I watched a lot of NBA this week while we were out. I watched a bunch of college basketball. And then when Sunday came with the NFL, I almost dreaded it a little bit. Because the NFL isn't nearly as smooth of a product as those other two. And it's kind of difficult to watch. It's kind of a stop and start game as it is, but it's kind of treacherous to try to get in there and say, ugh, another timeout. Oh, another commercial. Oh, did another read here for whatever hot take show that you got going on. It's just nonstop commercials, it feels like, and it really interrupts the flow of football. And I think that's a huge reason why the NFL ratings are down. It's hard to get through games like that. And that was a good game. That was a really good game.
It's a great game.
I felt like I got punched in the face for 4 hours.
No, there were some really competitive games over the weekend, but like you said, just some of them were took a long time to play and weren't necessarily exciting. But we can get to some of those a little bit later in the show. Coming up today, we've got Larry Williams give us an early preview on Clemson, Alabama from a Clemson perspective. Just kind of talk about what's going on with those Tigers as they prepare to take on Alabama in the college football playoff semifinal. Ralph Russo, the AP, is going to talk some Heisman Trophy as Baker Mayfield in a landslide takes home the trophy Saturday night. Also some college football playoff with him. Billy Lucci gives us an update on Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher, that staff, what to expect there, how recruiting is going for Jimbo early at 9:20 this morning. You can tune in online, umpsports.com. Download the app in your app store. Search WUMP. You can find it there. And you can dial in. Any thoughts? This will be a short week We're in today and tomorrow, and then we're out the rest of the week. 866-485-9867 if you'd like to get in. 866-485-WUMP. I want to talk, too, later in the show about who do we think is the best team in the NFL right now. Now, we'll see the Patriots tonight.
Cowboys.
But because of what you said about how Pittsburgh plays, now that becomes an interesting question with the injury to Carson Wentz and what's happening there.
A huge question.
Yeah. And who do we believe right now, and maybe we should wait until after tonight, is the best team in the NFL? Because there are, it seems as though there are variables that can change your opinion with every team, regardless of just record. You can't just look at record with those teams, I don't believe, and make a decision. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show as well. Now let's get to 10 After Tweets, brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Like I said, you can tweet into the show, at Cube Show. Easy way to be a part. Can always join us there at Cube Show.
Cowboys best 7-16 maybe ever.
Oh, okay.
Maybe of all time.
Bobby Barnett tweets in, at Cube Show, Army Navy was great viewing start to finish, hashtag My American Heroes.
Okay, all right. I'm coming out hot with this hot take.
Oh, boy.
Those Navy uniforms were trash. Those were awful to look at. I can't believe how many people said that they liked them, and I'm not trying to say anything anti-military. I'm not Colin Kaepernicking this thing. I just think the Navy uniforms, especially the helmets, were garbage. The Army ones were amazing.
I like the Army ones. I mean, and how cool that it's actually snowed during the game when they're wearing...
Yeah, pretty solid.
Uniforms inspired by, you know, our troops that have gone into battle in the snow. That was pretty cool. That was, let me just say this about that game. And I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, you threw three passes, the whole game is so boring, blah, blah, blah. But as a changeup, I really enjoyed that game. Being in the snow, being a different pace, being a different style. I'm not saying I want it every week, every game, but as a changeup every now and then with everything that also surrounds that game, I really enjoyed watching it. Now, I had to leave in the middle of third quarter to go furniture shopping, which wasn't great, but the 2.5 quarters that I saw, I really enjoyed.
Buffalo Nickel goal, if you actually knew that Army West Point was 8-3 coming into that game.
Yeah, I knew they were having a good year.
I did not know they were 8-3.
Yeah. Well, I do overall opponent records, and so I had seen it there a few times.
Who's Army showing up? They play Clemson? What happened?
No, and that's you know, that's 2 years in a row now that they've got Navy, which is something that hadn't happened in a long time before that.
Yeah. But the real takeaway is those helmets are trash.
Now, they've done the hand-painted helmets the last 2 years. Like, they had the ships on them a couple years ago.
Yeah, the ships are okay, I guess. I just didn't – it just looked – first of all, they didn't match. It looked weird. And I just leave it at that.
What about the rest of the uniform? Other than the helmets, what did you think?
The only thing that overwent that went out, the pants and top were stupid too. The only thing that overtook my timeline this weekend, besides Army Navy and how many people love the Navy uniforms, which again is the wrong take, was apparently we shouldn't be bullying kids.
It's definitely everywhere. Army lost to Ohio State, so that's where they showed up every week. Mm-hmm. So. That was a thing.
I get it.
Trip Rogers tweets at Cube Show, I think it would be really cool if the semifinal college football playoff game was a home game for the higher seeds. Also must be a conference champion. Championship game, neutral site.
These debates I will allow into the conversation of sports talk into Twitter now. I am no longer interested in hearing debates about who should be in Alabama or Ohio State, specifically. I'm not interested in that anymore. It doesn't matter. It's been 8 days. Get over it. Alabama's in, Ohio State's out. There's nothing we can do about it. I allowed it all the way up until the selection. I allow it up until 48 hours afterwards, because people need to be able to react who actually got in. Now, we talk about general ideas. I don't mind a higher seed hosting, but not the college football semifinals.
Okay.
Like, if you went to an 8-team or a 16-team playoff, then yeah, I would want the higher seeds to host. But in a 4-team playoff, you got enough sites.
Speaking of the playoff, David Payne Purdom at David Purdom. He writes about gambling for ESPN Chalk. He tweets 10 hours ago, 8 times as much money has been bet on Alabama as has been bet on Clemson at MGM Racesports. Did that surprise you?
No, Bama brings money, man. Bama brings eyeballs. Bama brings money. Bama brings attention. Bama is good for the sport. I take that back. Bama's great for the sport. I don't think nearly as many... You tell me this, Cole. And I know I just said Ohio State shouldn't be in discussion. But, hypothetically, Ohio State was in. Where do you think the interest is overall from this game?
I think it's similar, but just obviously not near the level of interest here. But, I mean, I think Ohio State is very similar to Alabama in that it brings that kind of interest, that kind of fan base, that kind of discussion nationally. I don't think it's that different. Alabama is a 1.5-point favorite currently.
See, I think Bama just brings in more of everything. And I think they're the ones that if the committee had to have a political choice, they would want Alabama. I mean, the money, the eyeballs, the ratings. I mean, I think two of Alabama's games. I think I read this. Two of Alabama's games, and there are only like 5 of them that went over 10 million viewers. 2 of them were Alabama games.
Yeah.
I mean, people watch.
Jason,
it was two of the top 10 rated were Alabama. I think one of the top games was Alabama Florida State. We got over 10 million viewers. That was Alabama Florida State.
Yeah, Jason Thomas tweets at Cube Show, Army-Navy game was actually good. It was a good game. Like I said, it's a bit of a change-up. It's a different style game. You have to be okay with that, but it was an intriguing game. I was enjoying watching it. Now, I wanted to get to 0 pass attempts for the entire game combined, just to say that we saw that, but...
If Navy Army was happening week 10, would you be watching it?
No. No, and that's like I said, it has its own stage, which helps. It has its own platform, which helps. And there's a need for college football on that day. Because no matter what you want to say to me, Sam Houston State and South Dakota State, whatever, that's not going to fuel that fire. It's not. But
the Bison beating Wofford isn't going to.
Is it South Dakota State? Yeah, but yeah, that game
No, I'm just saying that's the game that was on that
didn't,
I watched.
Yeah, didn't no. Mm-hmm. Which I did watch some of that game, but still, it's not the same. It doesn't really intrigue me that much. No, but everything that goes with it, everything that's around it, made it very intriguing for me. So, Chris Crow tweets at Cube Show #ButBama #8 days.
Mm-hmm. 8 days.
8 days.
It's been 8 days since Alabama got into the college football playoff. It's been 8 days. I agree. Everybody, get over it. Do not talk about Alabama or Ohio State deserving to be in. Nothing's going to change.
Hey, by the way, because I know you watched this game yesterday, Giants stick with those uniforms?
Yeah, I've been saying this for a long time.
They're so much better than that.
I hate lowercase?
Lowercase.
The undercase?
Lowercase cursive NY.
Yeah, I've been saying this for a long time. Plus, I don't like the red numerals on the jerseys that they've been going with for years.
Yeah.
The blue numerals, the blue jersey, the white jersey, white pants. It's a good look.
It's a great look.
To get beat by 3 touchdowns in. I think it's great. I just don't get... I don't get why that the NY has to be what you do. It's not a great look. It's really not the great NFL. Yeah,
they need to stick with that they had yesterday.
Blue numerals look great, man. Blue numerals look amazing.
And I'll say this too. I was watching some of that game. I don't know if there's a team in the NFL whose uniform differential from great to miserable differs more than the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. See, I would say
the blue jerseys are disgusting. There is no room for them. They are not good. They are terrible. The white uniforms are unbelievable and very difficult to beat.
Well, that's why they try to wear them everywhere.
Right.
That's why they try to wear them at home and on the road.
But those blue jerseys are gross. There's no need for them anywhere. And I don't know if there's another team in the league whose home road differential uniforms are that bad.
Well, the funny thing about the Cowboys jerseys is that they actually have a decent blue jersey, but it's like that alternate Thanksgiving every now and then jersey.
Yeah.
It's got like the white shoulder pads. That with the white helmet looks pretty sweet. But these blue tops are stupid. I don't like them. Never liked them. Never going to get on board with them. They look like what an intramural team would wear. They look like you know how when teams win the championship or they think they're going to win the championship, but they print out both championship team shirts and they send the loser's team to like a third world country? These look like the jerseys you would send to a third world country when you thought you were going to win a championship, but you didn't that day.
I'm with you.
These are bad, bad, bad jersey tops. But I will say this. I was going to say someone like Jacksonville, but they don't have a great jersey.
Yeah.
So there's not like
they're both bad. There's not much difference in either one.
And whatever they're wearing yesterday, God bless them. I don't know what's wrong with you guys.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
Good thing your team's good.
All right, we'll get to a break when we come back. The early morning audible next. Back in Cube Show Monday morning, live from the Southern RV Wholesale Studios. Go to srvwholesale.com today. As always, we like to let you know how sports sounded the night before and over the weekend. So we bring you the early morning audible.
Time for the Cube Show early morning audible.
Chubb's going to town. Touchdown, I think. Yeah, Chubby time, baby. Grab on, get out the right bread and mustard. It is grand salami time.
He's at the 50, the 40, the 35.
Yes!
He will score.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a touchdown. Kansas City.
Cole. What's up, man? A lot of ball being happening over the weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of ball happening last night, too. Let's first, though, start with them there, Tennessee Titans, who had a chance to keep pace with Jacksonville, who they would later find would win against Seattle. That'll be discussed in a moment, but decided to put up 7 points, and that was it.
Fourth down, fourth and 10 on the 22-yard line of Tennessee with a minute 11 to go, and Mariota's most reliable target on the sideline after getting drilled. Three receivers to the right. Mariota backs up as he goes to throw over the middle. It's juggled. Incomplete. Oh, a late flag is thrown. Offensive pass interference on Jonnu Smith. The Cardinals take over on downs, and the Titans can't stop the clock anymore.
As it should be.
That's right. As it should be. Whatever. 6-7 go the Cardinals. 12-7 losers yesterday are the Tennessee Titans, and it has been a rough season for Marcus Mariota so far. 14 thrown interceptions this year to just 10 touchdowns and two critical interceptions yesterday on the road. Just, they started off well. They got up 7-0. It looked like they were going to be able possibly to shut out Arizona until the start of the third quarter. And just couldn't muster any type of offense. If you're looking for any kind of a soft spot, you know, Derrick Henry had 8 carries and a touchdown. So there you go. There you go. Derrick Henry is a good back. I don't know why he doesn't get more carries.
Him another really good back.
Yeah, but he only had 11 for 34. They couldn't get anything going really on the ground. They did. DeMarco Murray did have a huge run called back thanks to a holding yesterday, but blah, blah, blah. Mike Mullard talked about the tough loss.
Tough loss for us. Defense played out of their mind for the whole game. I mean, the whole game. Had a chance to win the game because of our defense the whole game. And then special teams wasn't good enough, and neither was offense.
And that may be the most disappointing part about all this, because this defense has been stifling all season long. It's given them a chance to win just about every single game. And the guy who's hurting them, well, that's the franchise.
Right. Frustration's an understatement. Defense played lights out. Special teams did their job. You know, I've been hurting our team, and I got to find ways to get better and improve on it.
16 of 31, 159 yards, zero touchdowns to two interceptions. You're darn right you've been hurting the team, Marcus. I know he's had a good year last year. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if it's the play calling. But Marcus Mariota is not a good quarterback right now. And I can't figure out what it is. Maybe it's Mike Mularkey's fault. Maybe it's Marcus Mariota's fault. Let's go on with what happened last night, Mr. Cole Kublik. Your Pittsburgh Steelers found themselves in a pretty good position to win a game last night, thanks to Big Ben.
Third down and four at the 36-yard line. Shotgun snap in an empty backfield. Roethlisberger airing it deep down the right sideline for Antonio Brown. He's got it! Brown with a catch at the 35 of the Ravens and out of bounds at the 30-yard line. Again, a beautiful rainbow pass from Ben Roethlisberger. Dropped it into Antonio Brown, 26 yards and a first down.
That was one of his 66 passes yesterday. 66!
It's a lot.
That helped set up this 46-yard field goal attempt for Chris Boswell. Well, we've heard a lot from the Buzz this year.
46-yard try for the lead. Chris Boswell, snap down, kick on the way for Boswell. It is up, and it is good! From 46 yards to the open end of Heinz Field, and the Steelers take a one-point lead.
39-38 was the time, but for some reason, Joe Flacco, who was playing pretty darn well last night, still had time until T.J. Watt.
Flacco from the gun on third down. Gets the shotgun snap. Has time. Backside pressure comes now. He's in trouble. He is sacked. The ball pops out and rolls out of bounds. T.J. Watt caught him from behind. Drops Joe Flacco. 8 seconds to play. The first time tonight that Flacco's been dropped. And what a time for it. As T.J. Watt gets the sack. And for Watt, his sixth sack in his rookie year.
And he's having a pretty good rookie campaign, is T.J. Watt. That sealed the 39-38 victory. Mike Tomlin talked about that defense, which, for the record, only gave up 413 yards and made plays when they needed to make plays.
Boy, to raise up and make them necessary stops down the stretch. That three and out, I think, you know, maybe two or three possessions before the end was huge. A lot of people to congratulate, man. I thought, you know, Cam Sutton's came in there and made some significant plays for us as well. But just largely, it's a no-blink attitude of the group, regardless of circumstance. And for that, I'm proud of those guys.
Ben Roethlisberger said championship teams just find a way.
I think championship teams find ways to win. Like you said, in the past, you felt like we just couldn't quite get over that hump for whatever reason. Gotta love Boz. I hate that we put it on his shoulders, but there's no one I'd rather have doing it than him.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Tomlin talked about how it's thankful to be North champions. Did Pittsburgh do this?
Man, very emotional group in there, man. AFC North champs. We had Ryan Shazier on FaceTime, man. He had an opportunity to share that moment in there with the team, and that's a special thing. You know, we did what we had to do to win tonight. Obviously, we got some things we need to work on, but we'll work on those things in our AFC North hats and T-shirts. And for that, we're thankful.
I don't know why there are people out there who don't like Mike Tomlin. I like Mike Tomlin.
They're saying that Shazier may never play football again now.
Yeah, that came out later last week that he's going to have spinal fusion surgery at the very minimum. Looks like at some point. That is disappointing. Speaking of Shazier, Big Ben brought him up.
It was. to be perfectly honest, it was really tough. I went and saw Shea on Thursday after practice, and it was like a weight was lifted off my back. And I told the guys about it on Friday when I went in, and guys have started to go visit him. And everyone's felt the same way. When you walk in and see him and see the smile and give him a hug, it's really made all of us feel, you know, just to kind of take that weight off and just breathe a little easier. And we love our brother, and we wanted to get this one for him, and I'm glad we did.
And you are AFC North champions. Enjoy your hats, Big Ben, and your T-shirts. You can hang out with those somewhere in Georgia if you would like. You know what? Let's take a timeout. I still have audio from Cam Newton getting a big win.
Oh.
The Cowboys staying afloat for a wild card position. And a Northern Alabama native doing something that only two quarterbacks have ever done, ever.
All right, so we'll double up on the early morning audible. More from the NFL when we come back right here on Cube Show.
Call more audible coming up right here for you. Mr. Cole Oblick of the SEC Network. You can check him out doing games. What's your first bowl game?
Funny enough, the New Mexico Bowl.
That is
this weekend. It'll be, but that's on radio. I'm not on television for that game.
3:30 ESPN radio. Yep. So go check out the app for ESPN. I guess for Cole to find him. We won't be doing
the ESPN
that game.
Radio app is your best place to listen to that, especially in North Alabama.
We will have bowl games coming up here on the Ump. I think starting this week too. I think we have we start with the Celebration Bowl. And then I think we have the Boca Raton Bowl.
I'm on that bowl, but for television.
The Frisco Bowl. We don't have Cole.
So don't listen to don't listen to it here. No, go watch it on TV.
Listen to it here. Simulcast. You can do that. Let's go back to the NFL where it was happening yesterday, where Cam Newton was having his Carolina Panthers take on the Minnesota. Really good, apparently. Vikings. Jonathan Stewart caps it off with the touchdown run in the fourth.
Third and goal from the one. Third and goal from the one. Dixon in motion. Here's Jonathan Stewart. He goes up. Fumble. He goes over. He lost the ball. Darrell Williams pounces on it.
They call touchdown.
And they call it a touchdown.
Great call there. Great call, everybody. Good effort. Good effort. Wow, that was a cluster. Cam Newton talks about that being a playoff atmosphere at home. Yeah, it was a pretty good one.
This was as much of a playoff atmosphere as we've seen all year, especially, you know, us having the edge, it been a home game for us. Of course, we would love to, you know, go up by multiple touchdowns and just be just running the clock out there at the end. But, you know, that was a great team, a good team that we just played. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see those guys again.
10-3 the Vikings are now. The Panthers 9-4, still giving hot pursuit for that division championship, still within their grasp. But Cam Newton also had a very interesting comment.
Everything that I was told not to do, I did. Throwing across your body, those are kind of the same play, you know, similar to the Monday night game where it got overturned as an interception. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you just got to overcome coaching.
What?
Excuse me?
You know, sometimes, you know, you just got to overcome coaching.
Sure. Sometimes you just got to get over the fact that coaches think they know anything.
Sometimes it's true.
I do like the fact that he started that with saying, everything that they told me to do, everything they told me not to do, I did it.
Everything that I was told not to do, I did.
Sweet.
Can we just kind of sidebar his outfit for this game?
Sure. You want to sidebar the Shriner Aladdin hat?
Yeah. Okay, that's enough.
Not sure what Cam Newton's ever doing, but hey, if you got all kinds of money, why not?
Yeah, just
do whatever you want.
Do you.
Hey, speaking of doing you, the Dallas Cowboys did them.
This big play in the game with 4:21 left. 3rd and 3, Dallas at its own 19. 7 on the first one, nothing on the second one. Empty gun. Prescott claps his hands, has the ball, throws it over the middle, cut, running away to the 40. This is Rod Smith. He's going to go. There's nothing but blue shirts around him. Rod Smith into the end zone. Touchdown of 81 yards on 3rd down and 3.
Rod Smith with the big touchdown catch. That game had me a lot more nervous than I really needed to be. The Cowboys played like beetle dung most of the game.
Whoa.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It was not good at all. It was 10-10 just before that and just before the touchdown that went to old Jason Witten, who was not catching a lot of passes or any in that game until he caught the touchdown pass. And then Rod Smith. And then the floodgates opened up. Then the Cowboys couldn't stop scoring. Couldn't stop getting interceptions. All of a sudden, they look like they were the 2007 Patriots there, which I'd like to see more of. Yeah, let's move on. We don't need more of that game. I mean, the Cowboys beat a 2-10 team. Let's calm down a little bit. Hey, let's do give a little bit of love to North Alabama, man.
Underneath center is Rivers. Eckler, the back, fakes the handoff, rolling to his right is Rivers. Going deep, has a receiver. Tyrell Williams makes the catch. 25-20 to the house. Rivers to Tyrell Williams. 75 yards. Knock on wood.
Excuse me?
Knock on wood. You heard him. Knock on wood.
Is he like trying to assure himself that the touchdown's not going to be reversed?
Don't take it back. Knock on wood.
Just making sure I correctly saw that.
Phillip Rivers, 300 yards again yesterday, 319 to be exact. He threw for 3,500 yards on the season. He's over that number now. He's done that for the 10th consecutive season. Cole, only two other quarterbacks have thrown for at least 3,500 yards in 10 consecutive seasons in NFL history. Can you name them?
Favre, Manning?
Manning is one of them. Wait, which one?
Peyton.
Okay, Peyton is one of them. The other one, Drew Brees.
Oh, yeah, that's a good guess.
Who has got an active streak, as it is. Moving forward, let's go to the Eagles game yesterday. Okay, so the Eagles win yesterday. Doug Peterson talked about how his team found a way to win.
This is one of those heavyweight fights. I mean, this is the Rams' great football team. We knew that coming in here. Give them a lot of credit. They're playoff caliber team, and we found a way. You know, this team's been resilient all season long. We're on the road, back-to-back. We spent a week out here. Guys did a nice job focusing in and getting this win.
Being back-to-back, of course, meaning losing to Seattle last Sunday night and then winning, of course, this week. Doug Peterson, as the Fly Eagles Fly mantra keeps going, it hurts my throat just to say it.
Well, I mean,
this is about Carson Wentz and whether or not Carson Wentz, the quarterback who got injured in that game, feared to be a torn ACL. He's asked if it was fair to say that Carson Wentz is going to be out any extended period of time.
Well, I mean, you're speculating, you know, that he's going to be out. So until I know more tomorrow on him, you know, it's hard to say. But listen, there's a lot of leaders on that football team right now, and you saw it tonight.
Yeah, he just points a finger at the reporter. You're speculating,
sir. That's on you.
Actually, he was injured. We saw it.
Well, see if he's going to be out further. The fear is a torn ACL. To what extent, or if that's true at all, we'll know more today. But that is heavily the fear. Who came in? Nick, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, Foles. Talked about replacing Carson Wentz yesterday.
I mean, you just have to do what you got to do. You go in there a lot of times. You're just trying to find completions, trying to play fast because it's been a while, so you try to pick up the speed as much as you can and don't make a bad play worse. So you just go in there and you're really just trying to get the win. You're trying to get the win and you're leaning on the guys. And I'm excited we're NFC East champs, but, you know, it's emotional. Guy you work with every day, you think the world of. You know, it's not easy, but, you know, I know this team will step up and rally no matter what. So we'll see what happens from here.
Yeah, championships being given out yesterday. NFC East, AFC North given away. Blah, blah, blah.
Playoff picture beginning to take shape.
Carson Wentz, we do not know, but oh well. I do like that there was a Dallas Cowboys reporter that said after Carson Wentz got hurt, what if the Eagles lose 5 straight games, including the Seattle last week? Cowboys could have theoretically won the NFC East.
Yeah.
Except for the Eagles won yesterday.
All right, we'll talk Heisman Trophy on the other side. Larry Williams and Jimmy Hyams talk Clemson and Tennessee as well next hour.